And welcome in, Trailblazers courtside here on this Monday night as we steam toward fall, but it doesn't feel like it outside. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler with you here tonight on a big night, because coming up in the program tonight, your chance to get to know Trailblazers rookie Myers Leonard a little bit better. He'll join us 6:15. And then your chance to try out for a D-League team is coming up. I don't even know when, but Sean Kiley. What is Sean's title exactly?
Sean just told me he's one of the prominent members of Trailblazers basketball operations.
Okay, so I didn't
know. That's a lot to go on a business card. He's probably got something more definitive than that.
Okay, so he'll join us, and it comes up this Saturday at the Blazers practice facility. So those who want to try out for a developmental league team, open tryouts coming up on Saturday. We'll hear more about that. How you can get involved if you want to at 6:45.
Yeah, now that I have new knees, my J is probably still there, but the 150.
Is it 150 bucks?
That would deter you. Yes, 150.
150.
And if you don't have the chance to do it this Saturday, a week from Saturday, there'll be another one in Boise.
In Boise.
So you'll have two opportunities, depending on where you might be viewing us in the vast land of Trailblazer Nation.
Well, and for those viewing in Seattle, big win for the Seahawks yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Cowboys, and could easily be. Hey, Wheels, how about the NFC West? You can't bang them around anymore.
No. It's the
best.
What
a great game the Rams
did. Look at the records.
Yeah.
Total wins, the best of any conference.
Rams could easily be 2-0.
And so could the Seahawks.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. And Arizona looks, of course, they beat the Seahawks.
World
and
beaters.
They go to New England and beat the Patriots. We talk about everything on this program, not just Blazers, but we do have plenty of Blazers tonight, because a lot of the guys have returned to town. Judging by the reactions on the social media, Twitter and whatnot, it's neat to hear the guys talk about the workouts afterwards and who's in town, who isn't. Nick Batum has been tweeting. He arrives tomorrow. And, boy, a good turnout early on in the voluntary period of this. And we'll find out from Myers Leonard about how the workouts have been going.
Yeah, and we'll also talk a little bit about whom I think might early in the season really help the Blazers.
All right, so all of that and more coming up on Trailblazers Courtside right here on Comcast Sportsnet. Matthews for three. Good. Big three-pointer. Wesley Matthews.
Dixon. Season late.
Aldridge, Durant dribbling left, season opening to the hole for the blow by Aldridge. And what are they calling? A goaltend. Scott Foster.
Aldridge, this for the win.
Yes! Yes! Aldridge does it again.
And welcome in, Trailblazers courtside. Broadcasting tonight on Comcast Sportsnet on 1190 KEX and 102.3, and of course on trailblazers.com. Mike Barrett along with Mike Rice and Brian Wheeler with you for the next hour. Coming up in our next segment, Myers Leonard, Blazers rookie center, will join us in the program. And a little later on, Sean Kiley from the Blazers basketball operations staff. He'll talk about open tryouts coming up Saturday for the D-League team, the Idaho Stampede, which if you think you've got it to be a D-League player, this is your chance to prove it on Saturday. And then again, in Idaho, if you happen to be in the Boise area. When is that? The following
week? Okay.
Yeah. Following Saturday.
So a week from Saturday. So all of that and more coming up on Trailblazers courtside tonight, including at the bottom of the hour. Wheels, you don't mind me plugging this a little bit?
Sure.
We don't. Well, if you've heard the TV broadcasts and even the radio broadcasts, we tend to kind of dive into personal stuff once in a while, and we're not really shy about it. Well, tonight, I do want to take a segment for this, because the fans of, and we hope, you know, anyway, the fans like some of the personal stuff sometimes. We got a story for you tonight. Wheels is adopted at birth and has tracked down your birth parents. And today, in fact, just a little while ago, made the phone call and reconnected. It's a great story, and I want to talk about it coming up. We'll have some time at the bottom of the hour. I want to at least take a segment to talk about this, because it's a tremendous story. And we're during our timeout. You just got here a little while ago, so I'm not even totally filled in on it yet. But it's been a process, and
I've already made jokes
today
about it.
Well, no, that's odd. But anyway, we'll talk about that at the bottom of the hour. It's really it's terrific, and I want to talk a little bit about it. And of course, maybe Wheels, you'll even keep folks up to date on
it as the season goes on, especially if there is a face-to-face meeting, which I'm sure there will be.
Sounds like a great feature for Blazer broadcasting.
That's what half-time. I'm already thinking, yes. Trailblazer players, as we mentioned in our TV-only segment at the top of the show, are filtering back into town. A lot of them, only a couple have yet to show. And for guys like Nick Batum and guys who played in the Olympics and had a busy summer, those guys are always given a little bit more leeway as far as when they want to show up. Nick, I believe, will arrive in town tomorrow, at least judging by his tweets on Twitter. A lot of these guys, of course, you can follow this stuff on Twitter. And Myers Leonard, who we'll have on, he's a guy who's very active in the Twitter universe and talks about workouts and seems to have a real good perspective. We'll talk to him about that. But great to see all these guys voluntarily showing up and getting a jump on.
Yeah, in all my years with the Blazers, I think Coach Stotts, and I wasn't quite sure because I didn't know a lot of the coaches, and I, you know, you know about Terry Stotts and at Atlanta and Milwaukee, but I think this could be the best organized staff that I've seen in years and years. One that's going to get the most before the season starts. And I've always been a big advocate of, I don't know how NBA coaches do it, get ready for a season, because they just don't have any time. You have to be organized to the nth degree in the NBA to really get a jump on anybody else. And that's why I think Popovich and some of the guys, they organize from the first minute that they can be with their teams, whether it be 3-on-3, 1-on-1.
And there are ways to do it before you can.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're, you know, under the rules, you can, you know, they've set aside certain rules for NBA coaches to, you know, 3-on-3 and individual and that type of thing. I think Terry Stotts has impressed me more than any coach that I've seen with the Blazers as far as getting ready for a season. And I think it's so important in the NBA to be able to do that. I think this guy really has his feet on the ground running, and I've never been so impressed with what this guy has done.
Well, last Tuesday, as Blazer fans no doubt know, in one of these pre-training camp workouts, Elliot Williams went down with a ruptured Achilles tendon, and in fact, it's the same day. We know that because it was the big Wells Fargo golf tournament that we're in, and I wanted to either move the date or move the day of the tournament because we've gotten some bad news on that day a couple of times now. Wheels, your reaction to a guy who, and we've had a couple of these kind of guys, and unfortunately just cannot buy a break, and Elliot, who we have been last week on this program with Terry Stotts in studio, talked about the promise that he was showing, and we even saw that last year before he had the dislocated shoulder. You know, so much promise and so much excitement about the return of Elliott, but now, following the surgery a couple of days ago to repair the ruptured Achilles, he's out for the season, and I don't know what the future holds for him. The Trailblazers, of course, it's a business. He understands that. I don't know whether or not he'll even be around, if they need to use that roster spot with a young team and what is being called a bit of a thin bench. What's your take on this?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When we had Terry on the program last week and you asked about Elliott, he said, gosh, you know, I get that question about every, you know, 2-3 times a day since I've been here. So people have been very curious because, yeah, we saw so much potential in the short amount of time that he was healthy last season, and he had been cleared. He was itching to even participate at Summer League, and he was there to support his teammates, but he had not been cleared for full contact drills. He was cleared for that and was obviously participating in these scrimmages, and then just, you know, another bit of bad luck. So it's too bad because he clearly, on this young team, would have played, would have been part of the rotation. It's a new opportunity now for somebody like Will Barton, it would seem like. And Wesley Matthews, I know, you know, we can all say that this is a young man that seems to be the healthiest he's ever been in his time in the NBA, he says.
And so, he
shows it.
Yeah, he really, his legs are fresh, Wesley Matthews. He's worked on his ball handling. I think he's going to be a big surprise. J.J. Hickson, I don't know how Sacramento ever let him go. He's a guy that scored at the end of the year, but you weren't quite sure because it was at the end of the year and the team wasn't winning a lot. But J.J. Hickson, Joel Freeland is another guy that's going to be really fighting for minutes. He's European-style player that can go outside and shoot very well. He bangs inside. He has nice post moves. And I think the other guy that's going to surprise a lot of people is Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith.
We saw some of that in Summer League before he got hurt.
Right, and now he's really improved this summer, and I think he's another one that's going to step up.
And you mentioned Freeland and that center position. Four of the starting spots, and Terry Stotts has mentioned this, Neil O'Shea has mentioned this, they're locked up. The one that is not is the center position, and one guy who will be in that competition certainly is Myers Leonard. He'll join us next when Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, continues. Well, as we talked about going to break, the center position for the Trailblazers is one that will go into training camp a little bit up in the air as far as who will get the starting nod. Mike Rice, we saw Joel Freeland at the Olympics, and we heard people talk a lot about his game. You know, and we heard some of the American players compliment his game a lot during the Olympic Games. Do you think at the end of the day, and I don't make you have to make a prediction at this point, but do you think Joel Freeland likely will be the starting center? Could it be J.J. Hickson?
I really think all three. I think Leonard Myers, there's a place for him with his running ability, his shot-blocking ability, rebounding. I think Hickson with his scoring ability. I think Joel Freeland mixes both in together. He'll bang a little bit, but I think there's a place for all three of them, and I think they're all three going to get playing time.
Well, all right, he's joining us now, Myers Leonard, and haven't talked to him in a while. Myers, Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler here with you. How you doing?
Hey, I'm not too bad. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. You know, and we follow you on Twitter, and I know you're getting settled in Portland, and you've been involved in a lot of these workouts. How's the, how's it going so far with getting acclimated to a new surrounding and a place that's going to be your home away from home for a while now?
It's been really, really a smooth transition for me. I really haven't had any difficulties yet as far as finding a place and, you know, some of the necessities, you know, as far as a couch and a bed and everything like that. But most importantly, getting acclimated on the court, you know, getting used to the staff even more and used to some of the guys. You know, within the last week and throughout this whole week, you know, a lot of the guys will be here, and it's been good to work out and, you know, get up and down and, you know, start to get a feel for each other on the court.
Now, Damian Lillard and, of course, the guards that the Blazers have, Nolan Smith, they seem to be guys that will get everybody involved in the offense rather than look for their own shot. Does that make it easier for you to play with two guys like that?
Yeah, I mean, it always makes it easier whenever you play with guys who, you know, they're not selfish. But, you know, for me, I trust my teammates, and I know coming in that it's about, for me, just to establish myself, it's more about, you know, being a presence on the defensive end, you know, the ability to guard a ball screen, getting up and down the court, rebounding, blocking shots, things like that. But on the offensive end, that'll come. You know, it's not my job to really put the ball in the basket unless, you know, they drop it off for an easy dunk, or, you know, finishing around the rim, getting offensive rebounds, finishing those, and, you know, an occasional mid-range jump shot. But no, I know coming in that it's not my job to really score the ball, so it's not hard for me to, you know, go after offensive rebounds or be frustrated about it, because there's just no sense.
We aren't even at the start of training camp, but it appears that a guy that you might be joined at the hip by for a good portion of your rookie season, if not the entire rookie season, is going to be new assistant coach Kim Hughes, who I know is going to be primarily in charge of the big guys, and it looks like he's already taken you on as a special project. Can you talk about your early discussions with him and the kind of things that you're working on even before we get to training camp that he's trying to help you with already?
Yeah, absolutely. Kim's been great for me. You know, even just as a person to have around, you know, we go to dinner. We're actually getting ready to go to dinner soon. You know, but it's, other than him just being a great person, someone to talk to, you know, he's really helped me on the court already. You know, he really challenges me throughout workouts, and, you know, he'll talk to me in between games we'll be playing, pick up on the court, and, you know, just giving me little tips. But, you know, like I said, he's been great. The workouts have been good. Working on, you know, a lot of back-to-the-basket stuff, you know, refining my skills and footwork around the basket, using my ability to face up and use my quickness to get around, you know, slower, bigger defenders. And not only that, but just, you know, keeping me level-headed. He, like I said, he challenged me a lot. He does this thing where we'll be doing mid-range jump shots. You have to make so many in a row. And I think my numbers right now are 9 in a row from the corners, 11 in a row from the elbows, and 15 from the free throw line. So he said, he tells me that those are pretty high numbers. So, you know, I just got to continue to work hard. You know, I feel like I've done a pretty good job so far getting myself acclimated and showing guys that I'm ready to work out and get after it. So I just got to keep after it.
Myers Leonard, our guest here on Trailblazers Courtside. Myers, in a lot of your tweets, and it's fun to be able to get to know you guys through social media, the different outlets that are there for fans now. You've joked a few times about how you have come to Portland and you can go somewhere and you're not recognized necessarily yet. That will not always be the case. But what is it like knowing that you had your pre-draft workout and it wasn't that long ago, and now you're back here, back in the same practice facility where you had your pre-draft workout, and now you're through the summer league and now you're here to stay, and now you're practicing for games that are going to count? What has the last few months, I mean, it's a big few months for you. What has it felt like? What does it feel like now?
Well, I mean, since I've been here and, you know, even at home, it's been a lot of hard work. The people close to me and coaches and, you know, like I said, people close to me can definitely attest to that. You know, I really keep care of my body. I try to eat the right things at all times. I get my rest, you know, like I've always spoken upon, and I really get after when I'm in the gym. You know, there's no waste of time. I've really, like I said, worked on my body, gotten a lot stronger. And not only that, but obviously put it in a lot of time on the court, you know, working on my overall skill set, because I don't want to just be a back-to-the-basket guy or a guy that, you know, that people think of as finesse or, you know, whatever people put a label to different guys. I want to be able to, you know, try to be able to do a little bit of everything. So, you know, I feel like I've, you know, worked very hard, but even making it here is not enough for me, and it never will be enough. I want to get better every single day. I come to the gym and work hard and, you know, just try to prove to people that I'm here to stay and I want to get better.
It looks like you've put on muscle. What are you at right now weight-wise, and what do you hope to play at when the season starts?
Right now I'm at 250, pretty solid every day. It fluctuates a little bit, but it's mainly around 250. My athleticism's still all there. I've gotten a lot stronger. And I just feel good. You know, I don't really have any nagging injuries, knock on wood, that it stays that way. And I hope it will, because I've always been a healthy person. So, you know, I just got to continue to play hard and, you know, hope for the best.
Myers, my eating habits aren't good. You know, you just said that you watch what you eat.
You'll see him on the plane, Myers. You'll understand what he means.
What's your favorite restaurant? Give me some hints on how I can improve my eating habits.
Well, oftentimes when I go to a restaurant, you know, either to meet a coach or with friends, it's always either chicken or salmon, regardless of the place. Sometimes steak, but I've mainly grown up on lean protein, lean meat. I try to, you know, stay away from dessert. And in fact, I normally never get dessert. Always get water, and just have a healthy, balanced meal. So.
You don't drink pop? You don't drink pop at all? Or
no, and if I do, it's once in a blue moon. Oh, okay. Just for some, I don't know, sugar or whatever. But an average meal for me could be, you know, two planks of salmon, side of rice, and some broccoli, and definitely some onions. I'm addicted to onions for some reason. I eat them like I drink water. It's really weird.
MB was mentioning your tweets, Myers, and one of the things that I know you have tweeted about in your short time in Portland is asking for some advice about things to do to get you better acclimated to your new city and so forth. Mm-hmm. In addition to all the work that you're doing to get ready for the start of your rookie season, have you found some things that you've already seen to be fun in your new town that
you
like to explore?
You played golf at Oregon
Golf
Club.
That's right. You did last week. Anything else that you've already found to be fun for your new hometown?
Not yet. Yeah, it's been a lot more on the business side for me, which is, to me, very important as I come in and like I said earlier, try to get acclimated as best as possible. It's been, you know, a lot of going out, try to find, you know, different appliances for my new place. I mean, it's like I'm in the real world now, so I got to take care of myself. I decided not to bring my mom with me, so I'm by myself. So, you know, it's anything from salt shakers to a waffle maker to a new couch. So, I've really been focused on doing things like that. But other than going to Oregon Golf Club and going out to different places to eat, I really haven't had a chance to explore that much. I have been to a couple different stores, but nothing major.
Any steady girlfriend in the Myers?
What are you trying to get them hitched?
A lot of Portland young ladies out there.
He's asking if you need help in that department, Myers. I don't think you do, but do you?
No. Okay. I don't need help with that. I'm good to go.
Oh, well, thanks for joining us. We hope to talk to you again real soon. Keep up the good work in the pre-training camp workouts. And yeah. We're pulling for you. I know that starting job is there for all of you guys, and you'll be fighting hard for it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
All right, Myers Leonard, Blazers rookie center, our guest here on Trailblazers Courtside. Nice of you, though, to be concerned about his off-the-court habits.
You know, he's so busy with basketball, and he works
hard. I take it you don't follow him on Twitter because
he tweets
photos of co-eds.
Oh, I have to.
Maybe he's steady.
I follow Wesley and Nolan and Nicholas, but although Nicholas, half his are in French.
Yeah, right.
I have
he is French.
It does mean he has.
Well,
he does have a lot of French followers.
Yes,
though.
He does. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break, Ken. We'll come back with more. I want to thank Myers Leonard for coming on Trailblazers Courtside, which, as always, is presented by Pacific Power. What did you throw? Look at that. Now they're stuck in there.
Oh, that hurt. I heard that.
All right, welcome back. Trailblazers Courtside is the gang shooting some hoops, as will happen on occasion. We want to thank Myers Leonard for joining us on Trailblazers Courtside. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, James Olbert back with you as we continue on the program. Inside joke. We'll maybe explain.
Yeah, we'll have to
partially
explain that.
That in
yeah.
Somebody watching might know what that means.
What? I forgot about that. My fault. Sorry.
No, they're laughing.
Oh, I hope so. Right. I mean, their first. Their first experience with me, and it's a bad one. And with you, by the way.
Yes.
Welcome back, Adam Morrison. We hear is going to get a training camp invite. Is reported by several out there. I think. Who had it? Who had it?
Flippers had him.
I was on to make
Flippers
sure.
Flippers had him at Summer League.
But I was on to make sure who had the story.
Yeah, I read it.
Joe Freeman, I think, had it first. But anyway.
Yeah, it was Freeman.
Was
I
it
think.
Freeman?
Okay. Yes, yes.
So Adam Morrison comes back. He played well at Summer League. He averaged over 20 points a game. You invite these guys to try and make your roster. Are you curious at all to see what?
He's coming here?
Yes, they signed him today.
He's getting a training camp invite.
With Elliot Williams, I don't think that would have happened if Elliot Williams doesn't go down. He goes down. You know, you take a look. Jared Jeffries showed up today.
We know that Jerry Stotts values the three-point shot.
Yeah.
Maybe more than others. And
right.
We know that Adam Morrison, obviously one of the main weapons.
And he
has
did
a three-point shot.
Kind of have a revival this summer where he did average 20 a game. So, and he looks like he understands his role out there. It's taken him a number of years to understand that. But, Will Barton will be, fighting for playing time. And Adam Morrison, you need bodies in the summer league.
You mean in training camp?
In
summer league too, but yes.
Yeah, no, in training camp. Just, you don't want to play Damian Lillard, every minute of every – so you want guys coming in and out. You want to look at everybody. And
sounds like what this Dallas Lauderdale will be.
Yes.
From what we found out today. From Chad Buchanan, he said he's he was
big Greg's, strong guy.
Greg's
he was the backup, at Ohio State for Greg Oden. He'll be in camp, a big strong bodied guy that'll bang around. And so Myers Leonard will have some guy to to work against in camp.
But I'll tell you, I heard an interview with Adam after the very last game of Summer League, as a matter of fact, and they did an interview with Adam Morrison. He had a great Summer League, and he had a great final game, and he sounded more mature. He sounded like somebody who had a better handle on things, and probably because he comes in as one of the top draft choices in his rookie season, things don't work out for him, and he probably has had a chance to really, you know, find out how much basketball means to him and how much he wants to
replay a
life in the NBA. He didn't have that, but I tell you what, he looked like he had looked much more mature.
He looked like a basketball player.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think
– and the stash.
I'm guessing there's a lot of teams that probably wanted him at training camp, so this is a great get for the
Bulls. Well, and as Chris Haynes reported on Twitter a while ago, Adam's agent had said he never really got a fair shot after his ACL injury, and Morrison is happy, and, you know, it's a great motivator when sometimes you've been humbled the way he has been humbled. All right, we'll take a break here on Trailblazers Courtside. When we come back, we're going to go personal. We're going to go deep. We're going to go personal. And we do that on occasion.
Yes.
But maybe never to this level. So with that, we take a break back after this. And welcome back to Trailblazers Courtside, broadcasting on Comcast Sportsnet on the Blazers Radio Network, including our flagship KEX 1190 and 102.3 FM in Portland and trailblazers.com. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler with you. And as I mentioned, heading out of the last segment, we're going to go off topic a little bit here because it's kind of a cool story. And we were talking about it before we took air, and we thought, should we talk about it on the air? Why not? We talk about everything else on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's kind of how we broadcast. I know you guys on Radio Wheels do the same thing. Nothing is really out of bounds. And this is so cool, and people care about you so much that they would love to hear this. But you have been, and I'll let you tell the story, but you have adopted at birth, never have known who your birth parents were, but you have found them. And today, this afternoon, you made contact for the first time. Take us
first
through.
Tell about how you
yes.
went about finding them, because a lot of
yeah.
people probably want to know.
Well, I mean, the parents that I did know that passed away, my dad when I was a freshman in high school, my mom when I was a sophomore in college, had told me about my birth mother being a teenage girl whose mother didn't feel that she could sufficiently take care of me. My mother had something wrong with her internally that she couldn't have any kids. So all I knew was they were looking to adopt somebody. This teenage girl was not going to be able to keep me, so somehow they were brought together. And all I knew for all these years was that my birth mother was a teenage girl. And so I'd never pursued her identity too seriously, but for some reason, I don't know if it was turning 50 earlier this calendar year,
ooh,
but whatever.
Are you 50?
But I know. Most people don't think I look it. So, but
I don't think
in any event, whatever it was, there was some motivation this spring, and I looked into it. And I used to kick myself thinking maybe I should have done it sooner, but I'm not sure I could have. Illinois, where I was born, only became an open adoption state last fall. So I sent away for the birth certificate. It came about a month ago, and for the first time, saw the name of my birth mother. The father's name was legally withheld, but she was 17, so she was a teenager, as I had thought. And just showing the great care and concern of our Trailblazer fans, I was doing an interview on the radio, and I said, one of the reasons I think maybe I didn't do this sooner is I wasn't sure, even if I get the information, what do I do with it then? And I just threw it out there, said, maybe some of you have had experience, good or bad, with adoption search agencies. I'd like to maybe pursue things from here. Any advice you could give, good or bad, would be helpful. Here's my Twitter address. And one of the great guys that's a Blazer fan just sent me information, said, try the adoptionspecialist.com. And so it's a woman in Long Beach, California. She does nothing other than try to unite birth families. So put her on the case. She's a private investigator, licensed, a lawyer as well. And she had information to work with, an address that was the residence of my birth mother, my birth mother's name, her age. Father's age was 23, though didn't know the name. And that's all she had to go on. And then, sure enough, she started coming up with some layers unraveling, got it down to 8 from the very beginning, and then said, I think I can get it identified cleanly. A week ago, she said, I'm 100% sure I know who she is, 95% sure she's alive. I think I'll have it complete. And then this morning, she gave me the final bits of the research was the name, the address, phone number, and Facebook page and everything.
About that.
And relatives, sisters. And I saw the age of the sisters, and I knew that she was 17 when she had me, and she was 19 and 20 when she had the two sisters. And they had the last name of her husband. And I said, geez, I just wonder. And so I put a call in. It was the second call I made today. The first one got the voicemail, and I was given instructions about how to handle the whole thing. And certainly they said, don't leave a message that your son is calling and call back. So I waited and got a hold of her the second time. And I said, Barbara, I'm Brian Wheeler. I have a birth certificate with your name and signature on it. I believe you're my birth mom. And she asked me some questions, and
I guess
I identified it correctly. And she said, I guess I am. And we talked for about an hour, and she was wonderful. And the surprise that I wasn't expecting was, as she was talking more about my situation, I discovered that her husband, who she's about to celebrate a 50th wedding anniversary with, is also my dad. So I found them both at the same time. So great. I wondered that again because of her age when she had the they met when she was 16. He was 22 coming out of the service. I don't know which branch of the service, but her mother felt she was too young to keep me. But and then her doctor and my parents' doctor was the same. The doctor brokered the adoption, and they met briefly. Strangely enough, as my parents were coming to pick me up from the hospital, she was leaving the hospital that day. The doctor said, she's going to have to take the bus home. Can you give her a ride? And she didn't know their names. It was kind of kept private, but they gave her a ride home. So it was kind of
ironic.
Aren't
you glad you know how to interview? Because you got all this information in one hour.
I was.
Think of when you visit her.
And there's much more to be had. She lives in Rockford, Illinois. So she might even be watching tonight, Barbara and Hugh. I got a chance to talk to both of them. I told them I could watch on trailblazers.com. So, but, you know, it just goes to show you go through various stages in life and you think maybe you've seen it all and heard it all. But and I've had some wacky things happen for those who know some of the stories, and but this was quite a memorable day. So we'll see what happens.
Well, and I know, you know, I've known you for a million years, and knowing, you know, hearing you talk throughout the years about the importance of this, and you've always talked about it with some certainly the desire to find out more, and so to have it all come to a head really just a couple of hours ago before the program aired, that's pretty special.
A lot happened in a short amount of time. I mean, this was the pursuit started in May, and really only in the last month, and up until today, it kind of really felt like it was happening to somebody else. And then I knew that once I got the information and actually had a name and other information about her, and then ultimately him too, then I knew it would feel a lot more real. But she made it very easy. I mean, for all the things I was cautioned about that could happen if it went sideways, the conversation, it was click would be one, denial would be another, hopefully it went as well.
You have her birthday, right?
She's
a nice little birthday, and Mother's Day.
She was born May 1st, as a matter of fact.
I think 50 Mother's Day cards.
That would be a nice way to start. And Father's Day cards now,
Father's
too.
Father's Day,
so
yes.
Now I keep thinking.
Plenty of those.
Retroactive.
A sister out
Christmas
there somewhere.
Gifts.
One of her daughters, unfortunately, passed away, but one is still living. And so a sister. And I always thought I'd be better off with a sister.
And she didn't know about it, right, to this date.
Yeah, they've kept it, you know, I said, geez, sometimes I have trouble keeping a secret about what the weather's going to be tomorrow. I said, guys have kept a pretty good secret for a lot of years. And so up till now, only the two of them and her sister-in-law, her husband's sister, the only three that know about me. And so in fact, she said the other day, because she's had some mishaps in life that she's gotten through as a family, but really didn't seem to be bitter about any of it. The other day, just 2 days ago, she was talking to her sister-in-law saying, you know, I'm really happy that I just had the two girls and that I gave the son up. I hope he's had a good life. And she was just talking about it the other day. And she's tried at a couple different points to look for me, but it was really like a shot in the dark. She didn't have a name or anything. I was blessed with far more information about her than me.
Now, you putting this on TV, there's going to be a few people that know.
Well, now, you know, if they're Blazer fans in Illinois, I didn't mention names. Now, they don't know names.
Right, right.
But I figure that she probably at least has earned a Facebook friend request, and so we'll be friends now on Facebook. So if somebody sees a new addition, they may see a similar. I saw a picture and I thought she looked like me, but I thought maybe you want to see that, but we'll see. But if anybody, you know, I have many Facebook friends and followers as you guys are, and but I appreciate it. You know, it's been out there on Facebook and Twitter, and people have been very curious, and so I'll post something later on. But thank you for everybody that was concerned and curious, and appreciate all your support and prayers and everything. And it was again for how I could have even forecast how it hopefully would turn out, I'm not sure it could have been better.
It's crazy. It's a great story. Thanks for sharing it, Wheels. I know that you're you know, you open up a lot of stuff, and like we always say, we kind of do this during broadcast too,
I was down there with her,
very
trying
cool to talk about,
talk him into go get pick up the phone,
and you walked in and I said, write her a letter first, don't just call her. You said, I just got off the phone with her. So we'll take a break here on the Trailblazers Courtside. When we come back, we'll tell you how you can try out for the Trailblazers developmental league team, the Idaho Stampede. We mean it, this Saturday. If you want to try out, if you think you got the stuff, we'll tell you how when Sean Kiley joins us after this. And welcome back, Trailblazers Courtside. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler here with you tonight as we, we're almost to the middle of September.
Don't break a camera.
Knee-deep into the football season now, of course. Well, not knee-deep, but we're getting there. And, of course, that always means Trailblazer players are reporting back to camp, back to practice facility, not camp yet. We talked about it earlier in the program. Myers Leonard joined us. A lot of the Trailblazer players have reported, and judging by their tweets, the workouts are going great. And tomorrow, Nick Batum will arrive, and that'll give Portland really its mainstay, of course, of their horses. We'll all be back in town ready to go. Wheels, you mentioned last week, we brushed across the fact that the D-League team, and that's something we really haven't talked about that much this summer, the fact that Paul Allen invested in buying outright a D-League team for the Trailblazers to truly have a farm team that will run the same system. You know, have a coach that will talk to the Blazer coaches, and you can send players or sign players down and bring them back up. It's a huge luxury. And now, and I don't, it's not a publicity stunt, it's Sean Kiley will step in and join us, but tryouts this Saturday, if you want to be a part of and try out for the D-League team, the Idaho Stampede, you can do it. So Sean joins us now. Sean, fill in the blanks, the things I left out there, but this Saturday it's coming up, the Idaho Stampede open tryouts. Tell us about it.
Hey, what's up, guys? So we're having an open tryout this Saturday, September 22nd. Kind of a first come, first serve with registration because space is limited. It's a great opportunity for guys to come out to our facility, be seen by both Trailblazers and Idaho Stampede personnel, play against some pretty good players, and ultimately perform for a chance to play professional basketball. The fee is going to be $150, but it's a small price to pay for someone looking for an opportunity to live their dream.
How many do you expect to show up for something like this?
You know, we're trying to keep the numbers kind of low, Mike. We're hoping about 40, 50 guys. Want to give everyone a fair look. You know, it's tough when you get a bunch of bodies in here running around, and experience in the past seeing some of these things run by other teams. Not as organized as they could be, so we want to keep the numbers down.
Will you have referees and things like that?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. Definitely. We'll have some referees out here for sure, and some of our fine Blazer staff will be out here helping out as well.
Have you had to hand pick through, like, an application process, Sean? Or is, I mean, because, you know, some guy just rolls in kind of wanting the experience of seeing the practice facility and saying he did this. I mean, you're trying to keep this pretty serious, so are you having to look at the guys or their body of work, or do they have to have had, you know, experience D1, small college ball? Is there any process like that you guys have put people through?
A little bit, yeah. You know, we want to encourage, you know, people to come in and try this thing. You know, people that are looking for an opportunity, and they understand that not everyone had a chance to play D1 or small college. But there is definitely a sort of an application process that we've been going through here these past couple of months.
Now, because it is the D-League team, there is a lot of positions open, I would imagine, because you don't have the same guys come back year after year. Are there a lot of spots open in this team?
Yes, there are. The whole roster is pretty much wide open.
Yeah.
In the D-League, year after year, there's a lot of turnover. Guys get jobs overseas, or guys get invited to training camp, and you know they go to camp, potentially make a roster, or they just decide that basketball is, you know, the dream is over, you know. But there's a ton of roster flexibility for our team this year, and we're looking to fill it with the best players available.
Sean, since we made the initial announcement a week ago about the tryouts coming up this Saturday, you have been able to put together an entire coaching staff for the Stampede. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, we were able to get staff together here this last week, starting with Michael Peck, who is, I don't know if you guys know much about him, but Michael was the head coach at Finley Prep High School in Las Vegas, turned that program into a national powerhouse, won 3 national championships, coached 6 Parade All-Americans, 6 McDonald's All-Americans, 6 Jordan Brand All-Americans, coached at the Jordan Brand game. The guy's won a bunch of games. He's a terrific relationship guy, knows how to develop players, is really, really sharp. He's going to do a great job with this team. So we have Mike as the head coach, and then the assistant coach is Scott Williams, former NBA player, played with the Bulls, played in North Carolina. And Barry Rorson, who's best known as Slice around the NBA circles. He was former coach at Manhattan College before that. He was spent some time at UNLV, spent some time at St. Francis. So he's a really, really good coach, too. He's a New York guy, knows how to develop players, and is really good at building relationships with guys.
All right, Sean, so what do people do if they want to get involved in this thing on Saturday? Who do they call? What do they do?
Go online, trailblazers.com, idahostampede.com. Registration forms are there. We are kind of discouraging walk-ups, but because space is limited. So if you could send that stuff in immediately as soon as possible, you know, we'd really appreciate it. And then you can secure your spot in the tryout.
All right, Sean, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on.
We look forward to it on Saturday. That'll be interesting. And then the week from Saturday, they're going to do one in Boise as well. And by the way, the Wells Fargo Fan Fest, which is always popular, that is on Sunday, October 21st, fans. We've been asked about that a lot. Doors open at 5 with that inter-squad scrimmage. It's always very well attended. 6 o'clock is the time. Pick up your free family pass at Oregon and Southwest Washington Wells Fargo stores or show your Wells Fargo card at the door. It's as easy as that. That was Sabas flying in from John Curry.
That's Curry more than he jumped
trying
ever.
Trying out for the D-League team, I understand, as well. We'll take a break here on Trailblazers Courtside. Back to wrap things up after this. The producer of this fine program is Adam Willis. Phil Beard's our director. Greg St. Martin on video. John McConnell graphics. Corey Griffin on audio. Cameras are Buck and Curry, as always. Bruce Williams, our engineer. Online coordinator, Justin Moulter. And El Capitan, Rich Patterson. There he is, for those of you watching on Comcast Sportsnet. And his Paul McCartney tee.
Yeah.
One of many, I assume, Rich. Yes. Okay. Nice job once again tonight, Rich, getting Myers Leonard on the program, Sean Kiley. We want to pass along our condolences to the Underwood family, by the way. Miriam Underwood, a terrific Trailblazer fan, lifelong fan, really, passed away on Tuesday. So to Tim and to the Underwood families, we wanted to pass along our condolences, say that certainly have you in our thoughts.
Yes.
The workouts continue as the training camp approaches. It'll be here before you know it. As we mentioned, it's less than a month now before the first preseason game, which will be live here on Comcast Sportsnet as well as the Trailblazers Radio Network. We'll continue to watch these guys come in and watch the what they can do anyway in an organized sense.
It's going to be very competitive, and I love what this coach is doing with this team so far.
And Wheels, what a great day for you. And I appreciate, and Blazer fans appreciate very much you being open enough to share your story with us.
My pleasure, guys. I mean, we're all family. We're all family. So easy to do.
Yeah. Anyway, congratulations all of that. We love you, and you know that, and I'm so glad this all worked out. And it's exciting to see what's going to be down the road for you.
Yeah, so, I think so.
Another action-packed edition of Trailblazers Courtside coming up next Monday night. We'll get some of the players on before training camp begins. We want to thank Myers Leonard for coming on tonight, talking about what's going on in his induction into the NBA, certainly, in this baptism he is getting at the practice facility. And Sean Kiley as well. Once again, check in trailblazers.com for a way that you can try out for the Blazers D-League team if you'd like to. Thanks to Sean for coming on. We'll talk to you next week, everybody. Thanks for watching and listening.